Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is based on the gospel lesson I just read. If you would like to follow along with the written sermon notes this morning, they're found at the bottom of page 2 in your bulletin. I'm going to begin the sermon this morning by asking a somewhat unusual question. And that question is, how is your vineyardology? How is your vineyardology? And I'm not talking about Pastor Ben either. What I am talking about is now for 3 weeks in a row, Jesus in the gospel lessons appointed for worship has referenced vineyards. And as was noted already in our service this morning, the Old Testament lesson and Psalm of the day also reference vineyards. So how is your vineyardology? It's not surprising that the Bible talks a lot about vineyards given the agrarian nature of God's people, Israel. But Jesus uses that example or analogy to teach us about the kingdom of God. You may remember 2 weeks ago, Jesus told the story of the laborers in the vineyard. Remember how they came to work at different times of the day in the vineyard, and yet at the end of the day, they received the same pay. And Jesus used that story to illustrate the radical nature of God's grace. Last week, as you may remember, we heard the story of a father who asked two of his sons to go and work in the vineyard, and we talked about the different responses, both verbally and actions, given by the sons. Today, in both the Old Testament and gospel lessons, God's people are compared to being a vineyard. Great care and attention are given to the vineyard by the owner of the vineyard. He provided the very best to facilitate growth of healthy vines and productive vines as well. But in each case, there is a hitch. In the Old Testament lesson, the Song of the vineyard owner goes to all of this effort, but the crop ends up being only wild grapes. And in the gospel lesson, instead of the tenants giving the owner his rightful due of the produce from the vineyard that he owned, they systematically oppose his emissaries, and they even kill his son. Those listening to Jesus as he spoke these words during Holy Week would have been very familiar with the Song of the Vineyard from Isaiah chapter 5. And as Jesus told the parable of the tenants, the religious leaders knew full well that this parable was directed at them. Indeed, Jesus is describing the ongoing sad history of God's people, a history characterized by opposition, rejection of God's prophets, and hard-heartedness. The religious leaders of Jesus' day denied the sovereignty of God by placing themselves in the position where they decided they would call the shots. They decided that if God's Messiah was not the Messiah they were looking for, they would reject him and seek another. And Jesus speaks prophetically as the son of the vineyard owner, as he knew that soon he would be arrested, taken outside of the city, and killed. Those chosen by God, claimed by him, called to be his own people, rose up in opposition to God's ownership and sought to have their own way. And so upon hearing Jesus' words and understanding that Jesus was speaking against them, they sought to arrest him and would have at that moment, but for fear of the crowds. It seems to be that a key aspect of this lesson from Matthew chapter 21 is to ask the question, how do we apply this parable to our lives? Granted, Jesus spoke this parable to those listening in his day so that they would understand their role in opposing God and the things of God. But what does that have to do with you and me and with our lives today? Well, we too sometimes confuse managing and owning. We sometimes fail to acknowledge that we are the creature and that God is the creator. We at times try to dictate to God what he does, when he does it, and how he is to do it. We often react to God when he reaches out to us with indifference or at times even outright rejection, thinking that somehow we know a better path than he does. As crazy as it is in the parable that Jesus tells, that these tenants think, well, if we just kill the son of the vineyard owner, then we'll inherit the vineyard. Just think about that logic for a moment. We kill the vineyard owner's son and somehow we'll get the vineyard. That makes no sense. But as crazy as that sounds, it is beyond logic when we attempt to dictate to God how to be God and how he needs to perform for us. Yet despite this, God loves us with a persistent love. Both in the Song of the Vineyard and the parable of the tenants, the vineyard owner, God, goes to great lengths to prepare his vineyard and does all that he can so that it'll be fruitful. He provides every advantage. And in the parable of the tenants, he reaches out to those tenants again and again, time after time, despite their resistance and opposition. In last week's Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel chapter 18, God pleads, "Repent and live. Turn away from sin. Turn back to me. Receive that new life that I offer." This isn't a one-time plea, but indicates the persistent nature of the love of God. Or think of Jesus' words just a few chapters after our gospel lesson this morning, when Jesus looks out over Jerusalem and he cries out, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I long to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not." God loves you, and God pursues you with a persistent love. It pains him when you and I distance ourselves from him, when we begin to wander off. It pains God's heart, and yet God doesn't stop. But he keeps on coming to us with that persistent love. Again and again, he comes to us and invites us and loves us. The hard part of this morning's gospel lesson is the strong note of law that it contains. Those who persistently reject the emissaries of the vineyard owner and who even reject his son and kill him face dire consequences. Rejecting Jesus and his kingdom, Jesus says, results in judgment. Jesus does not mince any words here in our gospel lesson. "Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." There is one day an end to God's gracious invitations and his reaching out. At some point, the clock indeed strikes midnight, and judgment day is here. We would do well to examine our hearts and our lives again this morning when it comes to God reaching out to us. He who has ears, let him hear. Lastly, this parable reminds us that God enables but also expects us to be fruitful. God gives us every advantage. He has claimed us as his children in baptism. He has called us to be his own. He gives us spiritual gifts to be used to serve him and others. Week after week, we receive the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. He does all this for the purpose that we may be fruitful, bearing fruit for his kingdom, sharing his love and grace and mercy with others. As our worship banners remind us again today, we are connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ, connected to the true vine that we may bear abundant fruit. You and I have been planted where God has placed us. God comes to us and invites us and encourages us to be open to his persistent love. And he also calls us by his power to bear fruit abundantly. Look to God. Look to a father's heart. Look to the one who loves you deeply and abundantly. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.